Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
You know, the other thing is I've always wanted, like, Philadelphia, they do the Big Five tournament. Mm-hmm. They bring. Why can't we do
would love
like
that.
That? DePaul, Loyola, Northwestern.
Meow.
What the hell?
Cats.
You could let Illinois come.
Carolina.
UIC.
You could have UIC, Chicago State.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah, be great.
You could sponsor it.
I'm all over it.
We'll call it the Mully Invitational.
We'll call it the Haw House. Haw House.
In the middle of our street.
Haw House.
In the middle of our...
We'll all go boozing.
No, that's my my bar.
But I thought I was the silent
partner. It's my bar. It's your tournament.
It's your name. I'm the guy getting the money. I'm the guy going out the back door with the money.
Okay.
It's a cash business.
I'm doing the whip around.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw. 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Great show. Listen to it every day.
Let's go.
Yeah! Yeah, we got energy! Oh, boy!
Woo-hoo!
We've been running around here,
yes,
throwing papers in the air, screaming about sports.
Stretching.
And now we, yes, you
jumping
are doing
jacks.
Massive.
Let's go.
I pulled a hammy just in honor of our big sports story of the day.
I nearly did. I'm fine, though. I'm better than Justin Steele.
I pulled a hammy jumping off the couch after he pulled a hammy.
Wow.
That's how bad that was.
Torn a rotator cuff throwing something at the television set. Welcome to the Cubs, Craig Council.
Yeah, that was a rude,
this is
rude welcoming.
This is happening.
See, I think that's an overreaction.
Okay, it is an overreaction.
He didn't throw his arm out.
I know.
But a hamstring injury to a pitcher is a disaster, okay?
Oh.
That is a hamstring injury, period, end of story, is 6 to 8 weeks. Now you gotta figure out how you're going to get him back and get him up and running again without pulling that thing again. You get an injury like that that can linger. Did you have to let it linger?
Good Friday morning, Mully. Yes, you're right. That's the fear, right? Because you have all of the momentum and all of the optimism that we were oozing yesterday. And then you see Justin Steele looking like the ace that he is against the best team in baseball last year. And then
unfortunately, he has to make a burly play somehow.
It was a burly play.
Burly
would it was.
Flip it between his legs. But
and Justin Steele's a good athlete.
Hammy.
I don't want to say that. He's not one of these guys you would anticipate having problem fielding the position.
No.
But when he went out with the hamstring, he grabbed his leg. You knew.
Oh, boy.
You knew that it was bad, and we don't know how long it will be. We'll continue to discuss it. But, yeah, that's an overreaction. A Cub fan is entitled to overreact to the ace going down with a hammy
on opening day. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes. Now, the good news is there are a lot of candidates to replace him. I would think, just in the immediate, that you bring Wesneski back and have him be your fifth starter. I know Ben Brown is a pop. I know they got a lot of guys.
Not yet.
I think maybe let some of those guys do their thing.
That's
in
your first
Iowa
instinct. Mine was just let's next time around take Drew Smyly, put the lefty in for the lefty, and then figure out your bullpen piece later.
All right.
Maybe it is Wesneski coming up. Maybe it is somebody else, but I don't know what they're going to do. They probably have to think about it. But it goes back to our conversation on Thursday with Jed Hoyer. And we talked to him about
yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
And you know, I just wanted to clarify.
Seems like a long time ago.
It feels like that was about a week.
Oh my God, like two lifetimes
ago.
So
much has gone on.
Yeah, it was a long day.
My bracket wasn't broken at that point.
Yeah, but it went up in flames about 11:30.
Oh my God.
I was like, all right.
Yeah.
I hope Molly's sleeping now because
that was Arizona was my pick to win the national championship.
I wasn't going
to
mention that.
I know what about.
Yeah.
I mean, you lost a couple Final Four teams.
Thank you for reminding
but
me.
But I lost my champion.
Congrats to the Illini. They advanced.
The game I was really looking forward to for this weekend was Arizona over against North Carolina.
Yeah, well, they can still play.
The Caleb Love Invitational.
Just intramurals.
Now they're playing for third place.
Exactly. I mean, that's not going to happen.
You can only go to loser's bracket.
Caleb Lovely not.
No.
So he's got.
That didn't work.
He's out. Carolina's out.
Foiled plans.
Who had Clemson, Alabama for a trip to the Final Four?
That is super weird.
That would be a great Sugar Bowl.
Yeah. Clemson, Alabama.
Or that would be a great
football game. Yeah.
But no, not in the
NCAA.
Eight. Yeah. And then good for Illinois doing what they had to do against Iowa State. We're going all over the place, but why not? Because that was yesterday.
Well, we're just pointing out how much has happened since we talked to Jed. And I apologize. Go continue with your thought
on Jed. When we talked to Jed, the one thing that he reinforced when I asked him actually two different ways about Jordan Montgomery, and I wanted to hear him explain the thought process in not being overreactive and going after a 31-year-old lefty and overpaying for him. And I thought he did it well. He said two things. Number one, they trust the depth in the organization at that in the starting pitching. And secondly, what he was saying without saying it was that they don't believe they're ready yet to be a World Series team and maybe win it all this year, that if they were in that spot, they might be more aggressive. Now, this is me interpreting it.
You're interpreting that.
He totally.
He did not actually say, we're an also-ran, so why would we invest? That's what you heard.
Also-ran would not be the word that I heard or used. I would say a team that is ascending, but they're on schedule next year to be that team that would be in a position to overspend for
a
veteran.
That's a fair
This way. Year, they're going to trust the depth of their organization because you never know who might emerge. I don't think he envisioned having to answer that question on day two.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't think that when Craig Counsell was writing out how things were going to go, I don't think he had this one penned in.
No, I don't either. But you know what? He's been through things like this in Milwaukee.
True. You're right.
And the injury bug bit him there often, and he made a reputation and certainly put himself in a position to be hired and poached by the Cubs because he was – a guy who always did more with less.
He did.
Now he's going to have to.
Now he's got to do it again. His job got a little bit harder.
Welcome to Cubdom.
I love that they're like, yeah, it's a hamstring. Well, we kind of figured. And then they're like, there's probably an IL trip. Do you think? I mean, the guy, you know, that looked awful.
It did look awful.
And he gets an MRI today. So let's hope that machine breaks or something.
I remember.
Because we don't want that.
We don't want the bad news. But I remember last year he had, I think, a forearm strain or discomfort, and I think we worried about that, and he was a quick healer. I don't want to overreact to this, even though it probably is a month or so conservatively before he'll feel like himself again and maybe be the guy who goes to the mound pain-free.
We should find a hamstring man.
We got to find a hamstring man. Yeah. We'll do that. We'll find a hamstring man.
Somebody could just tell us. You know, obviously you're not looking at that injury, but what are we talking about here? What is the length of a hamstring?
We'll get a professional opinion before we talk to Ron Coomer at 8 o'clock, ideally.
Hopefully.
Yeah, because Coomer's probably down in the dumps too, right?
Oh, I mean, not only did they lose their starting pitcher, they lost the game.
They blew the lead.
And they had a chance to win that game, and they did not.
Adbert Alzolay. Tough one.
Yeah, that was rough.
Tough night.
That's life.
So the Cubs lost painfully.
That's what people say.
The White Sox lost cleanly.
The White Sox.
They lost cleanly.
The White Sox. We got so much to go over. I mean, seriously. First of all.
The trucks were beautiful.
First of all. They totally had the cars, and you called it. And I thought of you as I watched the cars. I guess Garrett Crochet deserves an apology because I doubted that he was going to go very long. That guy went six innings and was fantastic. He did everything that you wanted him to do.
He looked like the goods.
You know what he looked like? He looked like an opening day starter.
He did.
That's exactly what he looked like.
He looked like a guy that is a top of the rotation
That's
starter.
That's what he looked like.
And if he stays healthy, he's going to be that for a long time.
He didn't walk anyone.
In command.
That's huge.
Huge.
It's unlike Michael Kopech. How about Michael Kopech coming in?
You called it.
I told you. High leverage situation. He'd come in and load the base. He got out of it.
But
I mean, in terms of like sitting there and, you know, you got your device and you look down and you realize you've bitten through your lower lip watching it.
You know, though,
as you're bleeding on what? Hey,
get used to it. If this is who he is as a reliever,
need surgery.
You're not going to need surgery.
Get used to it.
You're just going to have
bit through my lower lip watching it.
You're just going to have to be tougher with your lower lip. Just tough it up, you know, like brace yourself for that kind of experience. That is the Michael Kopech experience. I'm not saying it's recommended.
This morning, after biting, I look like I mouthed off to David. Because he's known to slug you out of nowhere.
I am not. I do
Mr.
not.
Mr. Left Hook
I
over
do not
here.
Condone violence in the workplace or anywhere. I'm not that.
Watching him load those bases, David, I got to tell you. Like, I didn't know whether to laugh, to cry, to yell. I didn't know how to react. He hit a guy.
But you know what, though?
You know, he comes out, gets it out, then he hits a guy.
I think that people probably expected that from Michael Kopech. As a reliever, that's on brand for him. He got out of the jam he created for himself. And I think that's going to be what he is until he harnesses that control somehow. But I think that's going to be the role.
That was the eighth inning.
That was the
eighth
inning.
Imagine the ninth inning.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's going to be no different than the ninth. I was surprised.
You need that Benny Hill music when you bring him in.
I guess I wasn't surprised they went to him when they did.
I was.
But you look at the bullpen, and who else were they going to go to?
I mean, Jordan Leisure, isn't he the guy that's had the great
– Very high on Jordan Leisure.
Suited for that role. Michael, come on out! No, throw your – oh, my God. He's on first. That's okay. Don't worry. Oh, ground ball. And then he strikes the guy out. Then he walks the guy. Then he strikes.
Imagine, though, how bad – things could have gone had he not gotten that strikeout.
Chick, the roller coaster's going up, and then you're like, yeah.
I know, but our guy Steve Stone.
Oh, it's over.
Our guy Stoney. Great to see Stoney yesterday, though. He looks like $1 million. Terrific debut with John Schriffen in the booth. Steve Stone is still at the
Jason?
Top of his game.
Was he out there?
Yes, I did see Jason Benetti. Shook his hand, said hello, welcome back. They gave him a nice video tribute. At the game.
Nice.
But Stoney on Kopech, when he was facing the bases loaded, and at that moment, he identified, he said, this could go two different ways.
Oh, no question.
If he had walked him or something had gone wrong, it was like, okay, Michael Kopech, you're going to worry about his confidence and whether he can do this, or he can get the big strikeout and you can look at it as something to build on. I think he's going to have something to build on.
But I still worry about it and feel like this could go the wrong way. I'm just saying.
Totally justified.
I feel the same way I felt yesterday when we talked about Michael Kopech.
He didn't earn the benefit of the doubt. He bought himself some time.
Okay.
That's all. I don't think that you can say after one outing that Michael Kopech.
No.
Oh, okay, now.
But it was almost predictable. It's some of us predicted.
It was very predictable.
He was going to.
Well done.
What are you going to do?
Well done.
Bring him in to load the bases? And they did.
And then
he got out of it.
Chicago baseball fans, it's a good thing today's a day off because there's no game to test your mettle or your nerves or to drive you crazy because both those games were tight games.
Yeah, they were good games.
They were very
– My buddy texted me. And he's
high anxiety moments.
He's like, this is not going well here in the ninth inning. And I'm like, I smell a two-run homer. If one of these guys can get on – Eloy walk off like and I'm like I was I must have
I was ready for the walk off
I must have needed some sort of salts or something
I was ready for the walk off too
get me to wake the
they
hell
could
up
have
what
done
am
it.
I doing I'm They're, sitting there hallucinating
Louis Robert Jr. was up they had the right people at the right time at the plate
yeah
they just couldn't hit
no
Scooble was good
they got
the
three
bullpen
hits.
How about Andrew Chafin what's the deal with him he's still in the league getting people out got Benintendi in the ninth
he's what? Been He's old friend. Andrew
Where did he
Chafin.
Park yesterday?
I believe he was in the lake. Doesn't he live in a boat?
Is he the one living in the RV? Is that Jim Harbaugh?
Jim lives in an RV. Did you read that stuff?
I did see that.
Awesome.
It's crazy.
Jim's got like a smaller RV, and he his family hasn't come out yet, but they're going to go out and rent a house. He went out there and bought a RV.
That's crazy. Made me think that probably a good thing he didn't end up the Bears head coach. There's no way Lake Forest would stand for that.
He
could not have lived in that RV in Lake Forest.
They would not
have put up with it.
We have been in an RV. We have broadcast from an RV in Platteville. And let me tell you something.
And Bourbonnais.
I love the idea. And Bourbonnais. I love the idea of the RV, theoretically. But man, oh man, that is a small enclosed space. And you've got to make sure that you have crime scene tape around that bathroom so no one goes in there. Because there's been a couple of times.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Where there has
no,
been like
you.
A massive.
We can do without those memories.
A massive yeah. drive-by.
Stop it.
We can. You want to talk about letting it linger?
That's what you think of when you hear RV.
I just.
That's a bad.
I mean, it's a bad memory. My brother has one of these things where you drive around. You can go to. He went to France. All this, and I'm like, what do you do? Like when the time comes to, you know, well, you know, you just go to a place and you. You know, there are facilities, and I'm like, God, you know, you're choosing porta potty life. I don't think I could handle it.
I don't think I could see you doing that.
No.
No, I think that's not recommended.
Squaw Valley, California, buddy.
So we digressed. Andrew Chafin he drove to the ballpark in his RV, I assume, and then parked, and then he was still on the Tigers. I didn't realize he was still that effective and that trusted.
Makes me wonder. Like when he lived on a boat when he was in San Diego, how do you handle that on a boat? Does the same issue apply here?
I don't know.
I know it's not a topic we should talk about on a
morning
Friday morning.
Yeah,
but it is a good Friday, even though both our baseball teams lost.
Sox can't hit.
Huge upset for the Illini, and it wasn't an upset. They got up and they stayed up that whole game. They did not. Lull to begin the game. It was almost like someone had told them, hey, you can't come out and think you're going to beat this team in the second half. And they just hung on the whole damn game. It was great. Great basketball.
Brad Underwood had them ready to go from the tip, opening tip, and they were played with intensity that he, I think, is known for.
And now all they need is to pitch the perfect game.
Yeah.
You know, where there is life, there is hope. They now take on UConn. That's not easy, man.
Well, that you picked him to beat UConn on your bracket.
I know, but my bracket blew up.
I had Arizona winning. I thought that was the worst pick on your bracket, but apparently not.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, you thought my worst pick was Illinois to the Final Four.
Yes.
They got to the Elite Eight.
I know.
I'm very close. They could still get there.
They could still get there.
My champion's gone.
We'll talk to Marshall Harris at 8:45. He was there and in Boston, so I think that'll be interesting to see what they were like post-game because – every time you win a game like that, of that significance in the NCAA tournament, you know there's a feeling internally you did everything you needed to do. And I wonder how they handled that post-game with Brad Underwood and talking about getting the most out of his team at this time. They've been very good for now about 2 to 3 weeks. Big Ten tournament champions. Then they go in the first round. They win two games. We questioned whether or not they could win a game against a higher seed. They beat a 14-11. Now they beat a 2. So if they lose to UConn and exit, they've had a good run.
No shadow of a doubt.
Very good season.
No, they've had that beating Iowa State, an underseeded Iowa State. That was fantastic. That was a great basketball game, both sides. I thought both teams were hitting shots. I thought both teams were moving the ball. I thought the Illini were making the extra pass all day. And they were hitting wide open threes.
They're playing unselfishly. There's no doubt about it.
It was great. And yep. Terrence Shannon Jr., he got himself into the mix for the NBA. I think a year ago, if he comes out, he would be hard-pressed to play in the NBA.
They've already got those mock drafts.
He's
middle of the pack, middle of the first round. Now, of course.
Ahead of your guy, Zach Edey, by the way.
Yeah, well ahead. I mean, he's a more transferable talent, I think. But it all depends on.
Yeah, there's a rape charge out there, and he has a court date on May 1, and he's staring down, is it 50 years if convicted?
Boy, I don't know. It sounds
right. It's a very serious matter. Yeah.
So it's almost like there's always that disclaimer at the end of every Illinois basketball conversation.
It's hard to ignore that fact.
It is, but they have. I'm just saying, you have not heard a word out of Terrence Shannon Jr.'s mouth during the NCAA tournament or the Big Ten tournament because – of this hanging over the program and his status. He can't say anything. They obviously are making him unavailable, and I understand why, but there is always that in the background.
Hmm.
It's always in there that is just one sentence away. You almost feel like you have to have a disclaimer. Illinois, boy, what a season.
What a great year.
But.
Yeah.
So.
And what a great win last night.
Great win.
Yep.
Great win. Iowa State did not play probably as well defensively as they typically do, but Illinois had a lot to do with that.
And meanwhile, North Carolina.
What happened to them?
Number one seed.
See, Jordan showed up.
And then
he left in a huff. It looked like he was not happy.
He said that he would attend that game provided it wasn't in Chicago.
Well, of course.
I make it a joke.
He's got an alarm on his phone when he enters 312 area code. Beep, 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 beep. Must leave.
Someone might ask him about that house he can't sell.
Maybe. Maybe this way can't sell it.
It became personal with me.
Maybe this way can't sell it. He's never gonna. He can't arrive
the
on a
buyer,
date for closing.
If he promises to meet the buyer at the property, he'd sell it tomorrow.
Can't do it. I'd have to land at O'Hare. No. Chicago, no, they love
let's
me.
Let's not be mean to Mike. Good man.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. Plus, he's dealing with a big loss. North Carolina,
that's
crazy. Tough one.
Yep.
That's going to leave a mark for Hubert Davis because Alabama.
No, that was crazy.
Last year's Alabama team I might have envisioned being in this situation.
Yeah, they were.
But not this year's.
They were higher ranked, I believe, and rated and didn't do anything.
I don't know what happened to your Arizona Wildcats, but they were losers,
too. Yeah, they were losers. I'm sorry that I picked them, frankly.
Don't know much about the Clemson basketball team, but they do play well together. They're athletic. They seem to be well coached, but I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on the sixth-seeded Clemson Tigers.
I know that San Diego State was in the Final Four last year, mm-hmm. but my God, they lost that game by 30, and it really could have been worse because they kind of called the dogs off. I don't think they ran their offense.
They played like a team that was invited last to the UConn Invitational.
That's exactly right.
Like, okay,
how do you have a homecoming game in the Sweet 16?
Cut us a check. We're glad to be here, but we're going to go now after a 30-point drubbing.
Yeah, that was,
they were drubbed.
Illinois is now it's a giant leap in class. You know, they had a step up in class, and they did. To beat Iowa State 72-69, but I don't know how they're going
to
win.
I spent a lot of time flipping around trying to get up on the opening day happenings around the league. Juan Soto had a big debut for the Yankees.
Juan Soto threw a guy out at
home.
How
about that?
He, I believe those who are on the Juan Soto MVP bandwagon are 1-0.
Well done.
1-0 this
morning. You're leading the pack.
You weren't
Jack.
Counting on his defense.
No, I was not. How about Mike Trout homered? I heard the call for Mike Trout homering. I did not like it. We got to find it maybe.
What did they say?
It was on MLB, I think he said, Mike, that's Trout here.
Oh, wow.
No. You can't do that, right?
Yeah.
That's Trout here?
That's not good.
Come on. Hey, Ohtani, single double walk.
That's the juice. That's the your guy.
No.
Yeah.
Ohtani got a couple hits in Dodgers victory.
Ohtani, it's so good to see him. And I love that the commissioner came out and was hoping for a short investigation. Like, what? What does that mean? Oh, we're hoping to kick that under the rug. we're just going to sweep that one
away.
Does
he have handlers?
No,
does
apparently
he have
not.
Anybody that writes his stuff for
we're
him?
We're hoping for a short visit. I don't know. But they haven't put any charges on anyone, so we're pretending like there's nothing wrong here. Mm. Move along. Nothing to see.
Nothing to see here. Yeah. Let's hope we get this wrapped up quickly.
It's ridiculous.
No charges.
Yeah.
Oh. No harm, no foul.
Oh, Shohei?
No.
Yeah.
Doesn't he look good in 17?
We're hoping.
Doesn't he look good in Dodger blue?
What is a short investigation? Does that mean a series of smaller men will be conducting it? Like, what exactly are you talking about,
sir? I don't know. I don't know who writes his stuff, but he needs to have somebody.
Only guys under 5'9 will be allowed to investigate Shohei.
Not good.
It's dumb.
Not good.
Yeah.
So, Cubs, tough one. Sox, tough one.
Yeah.
But today, look back at what happened, good opening day, and then look forward to to Monday.
Roma Duse in town, right?
Oh, yeah, he's going to take a trip to House Hall.
Let's lay out the red carpet for him.
How about Michael Penix Jr. at his pro day? Goodness sakes.
Yeah. Well.
He's fast.
Yes, but he's, you know, for a guy without knees, he's fast.
But he's,
they
I'm
surgically
just saying.
Removed both knees.
Did not.
Didn't they?
That's an even more impressive than that he can run the 40 and 4.5.
Did you see that the Chiefs signed some rugby player from Wales? Did you see that story?
I did not.
Guy ran like a 4.43 at his, you know, his 40 time, and he's like a proper sized rugby player, apparently.
Have you watched rugby?
Yes, I have.
You have those guys chasing you without pads. You can move pretty quickly when scared.
They say he's either a running back. He could fit in on kickoffs. He's a running back. They have all these new international rules. Did you see that? Where you're allowed to keep an extra guy and you can throw him on your roster. You know, I like it.
But can he punt?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. Okay, we got a lot to get into. We're going to get into all of it. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. We have tons of energy this morning. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
It's Pick 6 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 6 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick 6 with Mully and Haw starts now.
The Pick 6 is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with the contractors from finishingchicago.com. Guys, what did you make of Justin Steele leaving last night with a hamstring injury that happened while fielding a bunt? Do you worry about his availability in the first couple of months of the season? Do the Cubs regret not pursuing Jordan Montgomery this morning?
Well, this is not a good story. This is a very upsetting story. It is a pity. Really, it's just a shame. It looked like his hamstring, you know, it looked like he really did cause some issues. You wait until you figure out how bad it is. He has an MRI today. They called it left hamstring tightness, but it didn't look like it. Looked like the guy was in pain and on the ground, and he did walk off of his own volition, but he could not stay in the game. And I think that you know, the idea that you say that there is an IL stint likely would indicate that this is probably a longer term injury. Just his reaction when it happened, and it is like a worst case possible. I suppose the worst case possible would be if he injured his arm. But this is not good. You know, you need your legs under you. And when you come back from hamstring injuries, you've got to be awful careful because they can linger over the course of a year. So you need to give him enough time to make sure that he's totally okay. Even if it doesn't show a lot of damage, this takes time. So I think that you're going to have to make another move here, and this is not good. I don't know that the Jordan Montgomery move is related to it, though. I think, you know, if he was still on the market this morning, we'd talk about, do they need to go get this guy? And the mm-hmm. answer would be yes. Mm-hmm. But I think they felt good about not just the guys on the big league roster, but they got a lot of good young arms. You know, a guy like Wesneski getting cut from the team indicates that they got some really good pitching. That guy would be in the lineup of a lot of teams, especially one on the south side, if you really are wondering where people fit in. So I think that they got a lot of arm talent, and I think they got a lot of options. You mentioned Drew Smyly. Maybe you cash in that insurance policy. And then Jameson Taillon is supposedly coming back at some point. So you're okay in the short term, but you know, this could linger for a while, and that is really upsetting.
First thing I thought of when I saw that injury happen was like, man, see, this is why I always thought they needed either Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell
right
for that insurance. But the Cubs did talk during the spring training. We heard Jed Hoyer talk about it, Craig Counsell talk about it. The big thing they were saying that we got depth. Depth in the pitching unit, so they got young pitchers along the way, so that helps. We was arguing about who would be the starting five pretty much, and there was some good candidates that was going to be in their bullpen. So with that being said, I mean, you just got to be careful with this, because I also thought of, you know, Marcus Stroman with his injuries, even when he was coming back and he was off to a hot start, and then the injuries kind of – he looked like a totally different pitcher after. So I do want to be careful with this Steele injury, so take as much time as you need. If it was to happen, I'm more probably happy that it happened early in the season than later. But, I mean, they got depth, so we're going to see how this Cubs depth is.
It just felt like you have seen and experienced this all before when you see the Cubs with all of the hope and optimism experience bad news on day one. Welcome to Chicago, Craig Counsell. But I think that he's the right manager because he has been through these kinds of things before. Every manager probably has. He's done more with less, and that's his thing. So now he gets a chance because you felt bad for Justin Steele. I felt worse for him. He went from having a defining start on his first career opening day on the mound when the game starts to it went from defining to deflating in a moment. And it was an athletic play. He's not somebody he strikes you as being out of shape. He's not one of these pitchers you're like, oh boy, he can't feel the position. And then he grabs his leg and goes down, and you knew what comes next. You just brace for the worst. And so you wonder how this will affect his season. The Cubs are prepared for this. I think when you look at – they always have the worst-case scenario in mind, I think. They have to. Last year, they had 11 different pitchers start games for them. You mentioned Hayden Wesneski. He had 11 starts last year. He is a guy that would make sense if they wanted to go that route. Drew Smyly started 23 games for them last year. He's a veteran. You could slide him into any role, and I think he would be capable. So they have some options, and I think because of those options, that's why Jed sounded so adamant that they weren't really going to go after a guy like Montgomery or Snell, no matter how much we might have wanted them to. So this isn't what they wanted to encounter this early, necessarily, but I think they anticipated stuff like this to happen along the way. Tyone and Steele, you could make the argument those are your number one and two starters, and now it looks like they might be without them for the first month of the season. It will test the depth, but they believe in it.
And I remember the question was,
what did you make of the first ever MLB start for Garrett Crochet, who lasted six innings, striking out eight, didn't walk a single Tigers hitter, only gave up five hits? Did he look like an opening day starter to you? And I'll just ask you this. How much better did he deserve than what he got yesterday?
He deserved a lot better, Alex. He deserved to win that game. He deserved not to lose it because he gave up, you know, a hit to Javi Baez on a fastball 0-2, and Javi manufactures a run. Good for him. Steals second, moves to third.
Don't boo him anymore, please.
Because it brings out the best in him.
Apparently.
Where
was he hitting? Was he in the eighth hole or something? I mean, I'm just saying.
He didn't have a good spring, and he certainly is a guy that they feel like has a big year ahead of him. A lot of pressure on Javi, but manufactured a run, yes, and then you don't think that's going to stand. You know, you got this. If the Sox feel good about anything, it would be their offense. Three hits on opening day. I know Scooble was very good, but you've got to manage more than that. And Garrett Crochet did deserve better. He looked like a top-of-the-rotation starter. Stuff was electric. The command was there. The confidence was oozing. I think he's a guy that looked like somebody you would trust moving forward. Never saw him going into the sixth. Never saw him throwing more than 80 pitches. But if that's what he wants to do and he's healthy, more power to him.
I had to rub my eyes real quick because I was like, this is like seeing a performance from like Dylan Cease right now. I mean, he was really good. I have to give him credit. I didn't expect it either. I expected maybe like three innings. He would have sat out maybe max going into the fourth. But, I mean, he looked good out there. It just sucks because this is probably what we're going to see with this Sox team. I know it's just game one, you know, but like, man, they can't really generate any offense. And that's the thing that's going to, you know, kind of – be kind of the model for this team, this gritty team. We're going to fight it out, struggle, and they just couldn't get enough going in this one. But, I mean, Garrett Crochet looks awesome. And I think Dustin kind of was talking about earlier. We was talking about breakout stars. I don't think none of us had Garrett Crochet on our card at all. And he might be the reason, if you're a Sox fan or if you're like, why would I want to watch the Sox, Luis Robert and Garrett Crochet.
Wow. Yeah, I did not see this coming. I did not know he had six innings in him. He was very efficient. He had eight strikeouts. He scattered five hits, and he scared him. It wasn't like he was allowing big innings or anything like that. No walks. Totally in control. That was huge. I was overwhelmed by his performance. I thought he pitched great. There is that issue, and it's called run support. And you really need run support. Let's get plural. But he didn't get so much as a run support. And that is a pity that he lost a game because the guys around him couldn't produce a single run. There were three hits, right? And I mean, like, $5 to whoever can name them off the top of their head. It wasn't like they did anything. It was, you know, hey, Luis Robert's got a slow grounder. They're never going to get him. I mean, it was a rough day at the office for the offense. But you got to admit, the guy pitched his rear end off. I guess that means he'll be traded by
no, mid-season. He's too young to be traded.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, wait, how much did you offer? Because I got Luis Robert Jr.
You're looking
Aloy,
it up.
And Greg Vaughn. And Andrew Vaughn.
It was at the moment.
Wait, no, you said $5. $5 is $5.
At the moment, and then I answered. I started talking
about. I can't
get
to Google that fast.
Yeah. See, this is not what the idea is.
I'll take singles, please.
Sox math.
As a leader, I think you shy away from those questions.
Yeah, well, back to Jed Hoyer and the Cubs pitching rotation. When he explained to us rationally yesterday why the Cubs didn't pursue Jordan Montgomery, was that an admission that this team wasn't ready for a World Series, to be a World Series contender in 2024? And is there anything wrong with that approach?
You know, that's interesting, because when we asked him about how great the minor league system was, and they had, you know, the Jim Callis, it compared it favorably to the World Series. He did mention, well, a lot of those guys were already in the major leagues and were not there yet. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you're reading that in that fashion is really interesting, and maybe something that we ought to kind of digest with some sobriety and think through a little bit. Yeah, I think there is something wrong with that approach. You know, and we talked about it all year long. You know, they did lose Marcus Stroman. They did lose Jamber Candelario. You know, there were other people that left the organization, and they brought back Bellinger. It's not like they went out and they got the third baseman, or they got, you know, could they have used an extra bat? Could they have used a guy at third base? Michael Bush did fine, and we'll see how that all works out. But they are, you know, they did have Morrell as the DH, and Nicky Two Strikes was at third base. So
yeah, how about that decision?
You know, that was interesting.
We'll talk about that later.
So I think that, you know, you have to ask questions about where they're at, and you know, is that a winning formula a little bit when you start looking at the decisions that they didn't make? But you know, obviously this morning, yeah, they made a huge blunder by not getting Jordan Montgomery. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It would have been awful nice to have another guy ready to step in who's, you know, a mercenary type guy that can go come in and do his thing, kind of like the Stroh show went on last year.
I kind of saw the approach of how Jed Hoyer looked at the whole overall free agency. Like, yeah, if we got Ohtani, that's going to exceed expectations. But if we didn't get him, then, you know, this is just a year to kind of just retool a little bit, just add slightly to what we're doing now and just get into the playoffs. And then next year would probably be the year where now we're in that World Series type of vibe. It's kind of interesting because we all expect playoffs of this one. And the fact is, who does Jed Hoyer see as this core for him in the World Series? Is it that unit that's in the farm system right now? Hmm. Or is it this current unit that we have now? So that's kind of the thing that kind of like wonders in my brain.
Combination of both. I think the more I thought about what Jed had to say, he doesn't say anything accidentally. Now, he understands the timeline, and he understands what makes sense financially and what he can and can't spend and should and shouldn't spend. Intelligent spending. And he has been pretty smart with the dollar. So I think you give him the benefit of the doubt. It's easy for me to sit here and say, go after Jordan Montgomery before and after the injury. But I do understand where he's coming from. And I also think that you look at the Cubs, they are spending money. They're a top 10 payroll team. And if they feel like they can get by this year and put themselves in a position to be legit World Series contenders next year, this is the year to make noise in the division, win it, because it's there for the taking. Next year, you go out and you spend in the offseason with the budget that allows you to do that, great. Because you know who's on the free agent market next year, pitching-wise? Corbin Burns and some others. Juan Soto. Maybe that's the offseason you go after, and you do spend wildly, if you will, or you make those investments you wouldn't necessarily make this year when you might be a year ahead of schedule. So I think that's what he was saying without saying it. I don't think it was necessarily intentional, but we can interpret it that way. This is a year where the Cubs can win the division. I don't think they can win the World Series. I think next year at this time, we're saying something different. We're going to say they learned from, they're going to benefit from last season, 2024, when they won the division, and that playoff experience can put them over the top this year when they welcome their new free agent to town who's starting on opening day.
So to answer your question,
what did you make of Michael Kopech's rather turbulent eighth inning appearance? Was it exactly what you expected other than no runs allowed? Can you believe he walked the bases loaded with a hit batsman, a hit and a walk allowed? Did you laugh when he got out of it? Would you ever use him as a closer?
Well, Molly called it, so I think that I understood what was going on there because I expected it because I was told that to expect that. But Michael Kopech, that is the Michael Kopech experience. I think that relievers have a wide range of experiences, good and bad, and Michael Kopech, you get them all in one outing. Did you realize he's the only pitcher on the Sox staff, reliever or starter, that is a carryover from last year? He's the only guy. Everyone else is new. Michael Kopech is the grizzled White Sox veteran now.
Isn't Tanner Banks on that team?
I think the telecast said the only one who's on the roster opening day that wasn't
Tanner Banks was brought up.
Yeah. Kopech, that's what you're going to get. He's wild. He lacks command. He can't locate the plate. Then all of a sudden, boom, you're out. Or boom, he fools you. That's why I think he is going to be a closer. He is going to load the bases. Then he's going to strike out the side. This is the Michael Kopech experience. Buckle up.
I had Michael Kopech as probably being the best pitcher heading into the season. That's going to kind of go up and down. But with that being said, this is the role. I'm with you, David. Set up to get him as a closer so that value can get up there. If he's a solid setup man / closer, value goes up, trade him, get him for some prospects because this is a struggle year overall.
Yeah, so Tanner Banks is on the roster. I guess he wasn't at the start of the season, and Jimmy Lambert and Jesse Schultens are on the 60-day IL. That's an interesting factoid. I got to tell you, I'm struggling with this idea that that you could use him as a closer because I think his stuff would translate. Don't know that the mentality would. I don't know that a guy that did exactly what you kind of thought he'd do if he came in a relief situation. The worry was he's going to load the bases. You can expect that. And then he gets out of it. And he kind of walked that tightrope a little bit early in camp. First couple appearances, if you watched him pitch, it was this kind of tightrope act. And there was just this, it's like a man balancing on a razor blade. At some point, the shoe is going to be cut through. And you're going to either take a tumble or suffer an injury. I just don't know that I could watch that in the ninth inning. And it was hard to watch in the eighth, but it's just almost predictably, does he have the mentality? Does he have the strength of mind to be a closer? And I think you're right. He got through that outing, and so he lives to pitch another day. If he hadn't got through that outing, I don't know. Then what? Then how are you using him? You're using him as a setup guy then? And
you don't have any choice. He's in the same role. You got to force fit this one.
Yeah, this is again, a guy that I look at as more failed starter than, reliever. Just my viewpoint of it.
Well, that's a good question.
What did you make of the Cubs starting Christopher Morel at DH instead of third base after so much was made of him playing that position? Is Nick Madrigal a division-winning third baseman? Where is this all headed?
Yeah, I think you can win with Nick Madrigal. I don't know if you can win with him as your third baseman because you need more power in that position, and he is more of a guy that, he's more of a second baseman. he belongs, you know, he has a role in a major league team. I just don't know that he has a role. You know, he could be a backup guy for the Cubs. I don't know that he's a starting third baseman. It's pretty impressive that he has gotten to that point. And certainly, you know, when you see him at bat, you know it's him, no question about it. Yeah, Christopher Morel, man. I mean, it's really weird that they used him as the DH. And I don't know if it was matchups. I don't know if there was another reason for that. I'm going to be very curious to see how he does as a third baseman when he gets that opportunity, because I think that they're at their best if they've got more power in the lineup, but they're not at their best if you can't field. So it's just this giant experiment that we will eventually see.
I was kind of disappointed not to see him at third base. I kind of, you know, the talk was we want him to have a position. Mm-hmm. We want him to feel more natural, and then he's right back doing the same stuff he was doing last year. Maybe it was just a matchup thing with this one, going against the Texas Rangers, and this one they probably wanted to really take that game. I think the Rangers are a very good contact hitting team. You really want to be good defensively, especially, you know, in the middle of that infield. So I can understand Nick Madrigal better defensively than Morel, but I want to see Morel at third. That's just me. I want to see more games at that to see if he's the real true answer at third base for the Cubs.
I think that it was because of the matchups. They wanted to go with defense because they figured the Rangers were going to hit a lot of ground balls, and with Justin Steele on the mound, maybe the right-handed hitting part of the Rangers lineup was going to pull it, and it made sense to me. It just was a little bit contradictory to all of the focus that we put on Christopher Morel locking in at third base. Doesn't mean that, I guess, as we found out from day one, he's going to play there every day. He's going to be a DH, maybe half and half, not quite sure. Good thing he was in the lineup, though. He almost won that game with a grand slam. He was within feet of winning that game with a grand slam, and that was a majestic shot, just foul. And had that with the bases loaded, that would have been something else.
How about that Wyatt Langford kid? He beat out a ground ball to short against Swanson, who, like, came up throwing, and he still beat it out by a step.
He's very fast.
He's unbelievably fast. Imagine if he's hitting it to third.
But I think that when you look at the Cubs' options at third base, Madrigal's not a bad one, especially defensively, as much ground as he covered last year in getting to be good at that spot. Miles Mastroboni also made a good defensive play, got the force out at home late in the game when it mattered. So I think you look at those situations, and you do wonder, would Morel have made that play? And I think that's part of the doubt that Craig Counsell brings into every decision about where to play him.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
All right, Kyle Brandt of the NFL Network gave an impassioned plea to Bears fans to accept Caleb Williams and all his eccentricities.
Take number one. I've seen this. That's not a leader of men. You are a follower of sheep. Let me say that to begin. The most important qualities in a leader are being confident, being secure with yourselves, being bold, and having everyone you're leading want to follow you. Find any teammate Caleb has had across two major programs say one bad thing about Caleb, let alone that he's weird or eccentric. All right, next take. That's not going to work in the locker room. Those are the words of the most basic bad radio caller to a terrible radio show in 1992. That's not going to work in the locker room. What the hell do you know? He's too Hollywood for the NFL. He paints his nails pink. Is that what you're riled up about? So what?
What do you guys think?
I think that is 5 minutes worth every Bears fan's time at Kyle Brandt, B-R-A-N-D-T, on X, because it was Good Morning Football, and it was everything that we have been saying condensed into one real passionate hot take. Caleb Williams, you will love him when he wins, and you will accept him when he throws for 4,000 yards, and he will be the guy that you better learn to embrace. He may be hard to hug now, but he won't be when you're celebrating what he is as a quarterback. And Kyle Brandt, passionately, as a Bears fan, articulated that very, very well.
I mean, for Bear fans who care about his fingernails, what he paints on his fingernails, sorry, Dustin, like, who cares? Like, long if he gets out there and he's respected by his teammates, and he plays the game right. I mean, eventually Bears fans will come around. If you play well, they're going to love you. You play bad, they're going to come for you. That, I mean, that's just what it is. I don't really care about his pink phone. I don't care about his nails polished. I don't care about none of that stuff. Long as you get out there and ball out, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I object, counselor. You know, this is assuming facts that are not in evidence. I do not hear, and we do not hear, from a lot of Bear fans that are against Caleb Williams. This is stuff and nonsense. This is a guy, you know, don't tell the fine people of Chicago how to feel, Ivy League. Don't tell me what people think in Chicago because you're trolling Twitter, Mr. L.A. You don't know a God-blessed thing about this city, Hinsdale, Lincolnshire, wherever the hell you spent some time before you moved to Los Angeles. Go act on a soap opera. Don't create one in Chicago. The quarterback hasn't gotten here. When he gets here, guess what? He's going to be well-loved because they're going to win.
Come on,
that's
now.
All that matters.
You know,
I don't need some guy preaching to me from his high horse in Los Angeles.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop by the city before you draw a conclusion about how Bears fans feel.
You've never heard anybody criticize Caleb Williams for his nail polish or hugging his mom or any of that stuff?
I've heard noise that is treated like noise. I've never seen people lighting torches and marching on Hallis Hall because, oh my God, they're going to try to improve the quarterback. You can't improve the quarterback. This is all Los Angeles nonsense.
I don't
nonsense.
Think it's manufactured,
so
man.
Dustin
totally
is noise?
Made up.
Dustin's
of course
noise.
Dustin is noise.
Dustin is mad as a Notre Dame fan.
I'll
that's
introduce
all that
you
is.
To my Twitter feed. There is definitely
I have
something
a Twitter feed, too, when I look at it.
It's
this is bollocks.
Definitely there. No.
This guy is so full of malarkey, it's coming out his nose. What a load of horse manure. All right. We got to get to the extra point, and it's a good one. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
What did you make of the Illinois Fighting Illini 72-69 win over Iowa State last night, sending them to their first Elite Eight since 2005? Do the Illini have a chance against UConn on Saturday? And what are the other games you're most looking forward to over the weekend?
Well, they obviously have a chance, but it's a slim one. And I don't think that UConn looks like a team that is slowing up or letting down. Danny Hurley has his team playing at a high level, and they're rolling right along. I think, was that the ninth straight victory in the NCAA tournament of double digits or more for UConn? So Illinois seems to be next.
Machine.
And yeah, they are rolling. If you're UConn, you feel good about their chances at repeating or at least getting back to the final game or final four. Illinois, if it ends, then they had a very good season where they got the most out of that roster. They endured some adversity, and they have dealt with some distractions that continue to be something that hangs over the program right now. Terrence Shannon Jr. has been one of the best players in the tournament, and he still is doing this with the court date looming in May for a rape charge in Kansas. So there's a lot going on with the Illinois program. They have managed to compartmentalize and play a high quality of basketball. They may not have anything they can do, though, to beat UConn. The game I'm looking forward to the most isn't that one. It's Purdue-Gonzaga. I think that's the one that right now you look at 6:40 tonight and you think, yeah, that's a great matchup. The best player in the tournament, and Zach Edey, or maybe the most unstoppable player in the tournament, against the guy who could be the best coach left in the field, in Mark Few. What can he do to stop Zach Edey? And the other one, I'm on to see Marquette. I'm very curious to see how Marquette plays and whether or not they can be a Final Four team, not only beating NC State, but what can they do in the Elite Eight? Because that would be a good story as well. So Illinois, I think they run out of luck, or they run their season ends this weekend, a good one. But I'm looking most forward to probably the other bracket.
There is a chance. I mean, I make two sheets overall. Now the one I have is, I do have UConn and Illinois playing against each other, and then one I have UConn winning, and then one against my friends, I got Illinois winning against that one, just to be different. So it's a chance. It's going to be tough because, like, watching that game, they looked like they had the game plan all laid out for Iowa State. They were up early. They knew they was going to come back. The one thing you got to do, you got to really attack the boards against this UConn team. If you do that, and then you got to make sure you make your free throws. They are struggling to meet the Illini in their free throws. If you don't get that going, you got to pretty much play
a perfect game.
Damn near perfect in order to beat this UConn team. Because after that, if they beat Illinois, it's easy for them to get to the national championship game. I think this is their last toughest opponent in the Illini. Other matchups I'm interested in is Purdue. I want to see them go against Gonzaga. I would say this. I thought they was going to get upset early with Purdue. I'm not a fan of Purdue overall. I do like Zach Edey, though. But at the same time, I mean, I got to give them credit. They've been playing pretty well. I'm very interested to see them advance because I want to see them go against, like, Tennessee and see where that goes.
Yeah, I think that's great. I agree with you. I got to be honest with you. Purdue-Gonzaga doesn't do much for me. Purdue against Tennessee Creighton winner is going to be a phenomenal game. And I think that's the game. Purdue should beat Gonzaga. Gonzaga feels right now like they had an unbelievable tournament because they won a couple of games. Purdue has to make the Final Four with the 7-4 center or their season's a bust. They've got to get there. And I think that Tennessee Creighton will be a hell of a game. And the winner of that game, I think it's going to be Tennessee. I think that would be a really good game this weekend. I'm looking forward to that. I'm with you on Marquette. You know, I hope John Shire wins, but I think Houston's going to win. And I think that the Marquette-Houston game would be well worth watching. And I think the same thing with the other side of the bracket is going to be a ton of fun. Can I say Oski Wawa? I don't know if I'm allowed to anymore, but go Illini. I really hope that they play what has to be a perfect game. And I mean every possession. They got to knock down all their shots. They got to make their free throws. There is no room for any kind of error against this UConn team. And there's going to be a moment where they're coming at you and they're building momentum, and you're going to have to stay in the game if you're going to beat this team. UConn has looked so much better than everybody else. And I know you can argue about the level of competition, beating a 16 seed, who have they really run over. But they've been running over the world. They've been putting together these double-digit – they're playing as well as a team has played in the tournament. So if indeed you can play a perfect game and put a scare in them, then maybe you find out something. You know, when you see a team – winning, how many points have they won by? It's like it's outrageous. That means they're not challenged. And if you can somehow challenge them, then you're going to find out who they are. Because maybe, just maybe, they're going to melt in the moment. And that would be a wonderful thing. I really hope Illinois gives them all they can handle. I thought they played a great game yesterday.
No doubt about it.
Right on it.
Has his team ready to go at the right time.
All right. 312-644-6767. Give us a shout, and we will take your calls next. Mullion Holmes.
Yeah, this is the kind of lineup that we've kind of previewed in spring training for most of spring. Maybe the only difference is that Nick Madrigal is playing third base. And for today, that's really just a nod to Justin pitching in the left-hander and the rollover with the cutter on the ground ball and stuff, and a heavy right-handed lineup. So you're going to see Chris at third base a lot. But there's some pitchers that we will, and I think Justin is the main pitcher that it makes sense to maybe go a little more defensive, probably in a position that's going to get the most ground balls third base today.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's Craig Counsell. And you heard what he had to say. And I got to tell you, like, it's exactly kind of what we were thinking when we went through it. I didn't hear that before, so that's very interesting that he's that open about why he made the decision he made.
Smart move. I think you go into each game, and if you're going to have a designated hitter be like, who's your best option at designated hitter? Basically, we're not quibbling over Nick Madrigal playing third base because he's a defensive liability. He's a strength there. Essentially, Madrigal played instead of Garrett Cooper, correct? That's probably the DH that we thought would be in the lineup, Christopher Morel being at third base. They opted to go with defense, so it was maybe Madrigal over Cooper in that scenario.
Sure.
Which makes a lot of sense, and certainly then when Mastroboni came into the game, he makes a nice play at third base. Christopher Morel, his bat has got to be in there. He got on base. He almost won the game with a grand slam, so I think Craig Counsell went into it expecting that, and it's hard for me to find fault with that decision.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. David, you might not find fault with it, but I absolutely, and I'm so upset Dustin isn't here today, because that was a David Ross special yesterday. And I'm just going to tell you, there was nothing. Why on earth did he bring Almonte in after Merriweather? Why did he not bring Leiter in? So here's the thing. When you're an $8 million manager, you have to be questioned. There is no ramp up. There is no, let him get his bearings. He makes $8 million a year. There's going to be, like, Ron on the south side has your picks in a safe. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm keeping a ledger, and that is an absolute manager loss yesterday.
How
and
so?
I don't care what we say about third base?
Is that what you're saying?
100%. Garrett Cooper should have been DHing, and Morel should have been in there, and that he made bad pitching decisions yesterday. Nice two walks by Smiley. He's going to be held accountable all 162 games for his $40 million, and that he had a bad day yesterday, period. That's the way I feel, and that's the way a lot of Cubs fans feel, because that was a badly managed game yesterday. Any game Madrigal starts is a loss ahead of time. Thanks, guys.
Kevin, that's crazy. Madrigal is going to start at third base a lot. I respect the fact that you had a problem with Almonte coming in the game when he did and not doing what he needed to do. But let's face it, Adbert Alzolay, to me, you've got a chance to close out the game. You've got your closer on the mound, and he gave up a home run. I mean, Jankowski just nailed it. He got the best of him. It happens on opening day. Was that really a manager's loss yesterday? Did you look at it at game one?
I think it's interesting. He's saying that the lineup is the reason that they lost.
I know.
I don't know that I buy that. I mean, here's the thing. I like Garrett Cooper. I mean, isn't Morel a better hitter than him?
Yes.
He can't play. He's not going to play third base. So I don't know.
Kevin was basically saying Cooper should have been the DH, Morel at third base.
I know
the way
he's
that
saying
we were
that.
Prepared
I
for
know.
That.
But I just, mean, like we talked about, that you know, that with a guy, and you heard him say it, that because of Justin being on the bump, they felt the better matchup was having Madrigal play third. So I mean, if you really want to blame that loss on the manager, then you ought to blame it on the general manager and the team president. You better blame it on Jed for not filling that spot. I'm being honest. If you felt like you had Matt Chapman there, would you have won the game with Morel at third?
I don't think.
Because you're blaming Madrigal for the loss of what you're doing.
But yeah, I don't see the logic in that. I'm blaming the loss if we're assigning blame. I'm blaming the loss on the closer not closing. He was in a position, regardless of everything that happened to that point, you had a lead. You had your closer on the mound. You were ready to win the first game of a season that was very difficult because you lost your ace in the fifth inning. And Adbert Alzolay gave up a home run, and then you lost it in extra innings. So these things happen. Long season, and you lost to a good team.
312-644-6767. Chris is in Champaign. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, just wanted to talk a little bit why I think Illinois is going to have a very good chance to beat UConn.
Oh.
First of all, Illinois is not going to be scared of UConn. They're just as big. They're probably the tallest team in the tournament. They're very experienced. And UConn's got a lot of good players, but I don't think they have a superstar. And in the tournament, superstars win the tournament. And we have one in Terrence Shipp. And we will rebound, and we will play defense, and we will not back down. And I think that they're going to push UConn to the end, and I think Terrence Shannon's going to win the game. That's what
that's possible. I'm just curious, Chris, do you feel any kind of apprehension about Terrence Shannon, just knowing what he's facing and where he's at in his life? Okay, we lost him. I'd be very curious. I'm not arguing.
I think you know the answer.
I think Terrence, yeah. Okay.
I think you know the answer.
I don't know the answer. That's why I asked the question.
We kind of know the answer. That's okay. I think UConn is going to be very difficult to beat. I just think you could be Illinois, you could be any team left in the bracket, and it would be the same story. UConn is going to be very difficult to beat. I picked Purdue, but I don't feel great about that pick, seeing how efficient and just dominant UConn has been.
I think that UConn has been the best team in the tournament.
Yep.
I do think, though, that Illinois, he's right about one thing, is they have a lot of experience. They've got a lot. They've done great in the transfer portal, and they've got guys that are old enough to not be intimidated by the moment that they're in, and experienced enough not to be intimidated by the moment that they are in. I just think if you watch these games, Illinois, I thought, played a great team game yesterday, and they moved the ball fantastic, and they got, you know, the open guy hit the shot. They did a really good job yesterday, made the extra pass. They look great, and they've looked really good for a while. And this is a kind of, again, a big step up in class, and they need to play fairly perfect game. But I think that they're capable of playing at an even higher level. UConn hasn't shown so much as a chink in the armor.
No, not at
all.
There's
nothing about that team that makes you say, well, they don't have this or they don't. They're doing an unbelievable job of sharing the ball, of no one demanding to be the star of the team. They're playing team basketball as well as you can play it. They're really good. So I think it should be a fascinating matchup. And I picked Illinois before the tournament began, but if I were repicking it, if I were betting it, I would probably think UConn's going to win that game.
Yeah, they just have been offensively efficient, defensively dominant, and they're, you know, Danny Hurley is the coach that you feel like you trust now. Before he won a national championship, he was always like, oh, can he ever get to that point? But now he's got a lot of respect and he's got a lot of depth.
312-644-6767. We got Kevin putting that one on Craig Council. So what did you think of the new Cubs manager? Do you agree with that take? And do you wish Dustin was here today to comment upon it too? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score.